First of all, I have a report from Reedsport. It says, greetings from Reedsport. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, and verse number 18. Come and reason with God, the need of all mankind. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Judah is being called before God. She's charged with rebellion against God. And God gives Judah one more chance to get right. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He warns them of the consequences if they fail to do so. Isaiah 1, verses 19 and 20 says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Application to the sinful, who are in the same condition before God as Judah. Isaiah 1, verses 4 through 6. Ah, sinful nation of people, laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. So the Lord calls to come and reason with him. He's calling you and me to come and reason with him. Now, we want to think that the backslider, we want to think that the lost person, we want to think that the rebellious, whoever that they might be, that that's our God's deal. Listen, he wants all of us to come and reason together with him from time to time because we are sinners. Yeah. We don't like to be called sinners. We don't like for it to be brought out. But here's the thing. If we don't come to him and reason together with him, that sin problem that we all have is not going to be taken care of. And we have to come on his terms, not ours. God calls us to come reason with him. And who are we to refuse? Psalms 8, verses 3 and 4. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? We reason with God from his word. What does the word teach concerning God? It teaches that he is supreme in power. He is supreme in power. Romans chapter 9, verses 10 and verse 18. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will hardeneth, he hardeneth. God is in charge. God has the ability to let one live, or he has the ability to take their life. And when we rebel against God and have it our way, we're in danger. Just like we read here. Just like Judah was. God is the supreme in power, and he can have mercy on whom he will, and he can have mercy on whom he, or, and he will harden whom that he will harden. He is supreme in power. He is, another word, the word for that is sovereign in power. And he is holy. Isaiah 6, in the first three verses, the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Did you know that he saved us? Did you know that he placed us where we're at? And did you know that he gave us his holiness? And we're to be holy. Look at Psalms 145:17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. In other words, God's right. He's always right. Man's never right. Who's man? Who's man to rebel against God? Who's man to have it his own way? What can he do? Man has no ability to change his eternal destiny. He has no ability to take care of his sin. He has to take it to God and reason with him on the basis of being a sinner, on the basis of being guilty, on the basis of being inferior to God. Who's man that God's mindful of him anyway? He's just. Nahum 1 and verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger, great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Now man is not going to have his way in the storm. We read about the brethren, Paul, on the trip, and the storm coming up, and there was nothing that they could do. And they went to the Lord, and he said, peace be still, and it took care of it for them. He had the power. They didn't. Not only that, but you know, here a few years ago, or many years back probably to some of you, I remember when I was young, they were seeding clouds to try to control the weather, try to get rain where there was no rain, and try to manage the course of things in nature. And where are they today? God's still in charge. He's still in control. It's still continuing on as he established the order and set it in place and took, set it in action. Job 10, verse 14. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. He's just. He'll give us what we deserve, one way or another. But God also is love. God is love. What is love? Today, everything that you can imagine is love. Did you know that sex is not love? Amen. That's right. But yet people are making love. Ask the world out here. And I'm not being crude. It's just reality. And we need to face reality. We need to face facts that we really don't know what love is. Especially the love of God. Did you know that his love for mankind made him forsake himself constantly and continually and always? Our love is what we can get out of it most of the time. But he is love. Look at 1 John 4, 8 through 10. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Love always sacrifices self. If you say you love somebody, you're going to sacrifice for them. You're going to prefer them before yourself. That's why he tells husband in Ephesians 5, love your wives. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Love takes a denial of self. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God, in verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love caused him to deny himself, caused him to let harm come to himself on behalf of those that he loved. God is supreme in power. God is holy. He is just. He is love. Amen. We need to understand that the love is talking about, again, is self-denial and self-sacrifice on behalf of those that the love is bestowed upon. We want a love without sacrifice. We want a love without denial. That's not love. Might be affection, but it's not love. Not the kind of love that God is. And that he has. What does the word teach concerning man? That all men are sinners. Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse number 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Don't want to confess that. Don't want to accept it. Don't want to hear about sin. Don't preach on sin. Don't remind people that they're sinners. When deep in the heart, every individual knows he's a sinner. Every individual deep in his heart knows there's God. Every individual realizes that because he's a sinner, he's failed God. Because God created man for himself. All men are sinners. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Now listen, this is God speaking, and he knows what he's talking about. None, he says. There's not a man that sought after God. God has always had to seek after him. I didn't seek after God. You didn't seek after God. He sought after you. And thank God he didn't give up on us when we rebelled and had it our way. But he continued to convict and to draw us. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. This patting ourselves on the back because of how good we are and how much good we've done, brother, it doesn't work with God. One day we'll stand and we'll give an answer. But no doubt in this life we will also pay, because sin always brings some kind of destruction. Then, what does the word teach concerning man? that man is capable of committing the vilest of sin. Mark 7, 20 through 23. And he said, that which cometh out of man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. All of those things separate man from God. All of those things bring grief and heartache. All of those things you reap what you sow, and when you sow those things, you're going to reap the destruction because sin brings death. And it's not always immediate. What does the Lord teach concerning man? That man by nature is incurable. He cannot cure himself. God is the only one that has the power to do that. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And man cannot change his own heart. Man cannot clean up his life. It takes God to do that. And brother, the problem with a lot of God's people is, and much of the world and most of religion today and Christianity, they've cleaned up the outside. They have offered up God their self-righteousness, and that's the only righteousness that man has, and that's sin. And so they have offered this up, and yet inwardly they are the vilest of sinners. Yeah. The nature of man is incurable except with God. What does the word teach about salvation? That salvation is by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Most of Christianity today is works for salvation. It's works to keep saved. Bible knows nothing about it. God's revealed us, give us nothing about man being able. He's only given us and shown us his grace toward man, that he can change the man and cure him of the sinful condition that he's in. Salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's based on the shed blood of the Son of God. Hebrews 9, verse number 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ, there is no remission of sin for man. It's that shed blood that covers man's sins. Jesus ascended up with his own blood, poured it out on the altar of God there in glory as a covering for man's sins. Hebrews 9, 11 and 12. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. How did he obtain it? With his blood. Blood of Christ is important. Matthew 26, verse number 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus' blood was shed for mankind, all of mankind, but it only benefit those that are willing to come and to believe and trust in his sacrifice that he made. And that sacrifice is called the gospel. It's the death of Christ according to the scripture, the burial and resurrection of Christ according to the scripture. His death, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And when he shed his blood, his life was gone. Ephesians 2:9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's God in the flesh. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Because he is God, he can reward the sinner when he will repent and by faith come to him. If he does it with the heart, he will hear him. John 3, verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever believeth, whosoever puts their faith and trust in, whosoever accepts totally that he did everything that was necessary to be done in order for man's sin to be taken away. And he makes it clear to us in his word that he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west, when man will come to him and believe and trust in him. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, were saved by the power of God. It takes belief. It takes trust. Acts 16:31. And they said, the brethren to the Philippian jailer, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Believe what? That he is God. And that he is a rewarder of those that will diligently seek him. If you believe in what Jesus did, that's the means of salvation. This grace will transform the sinner's life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This grace transforms the sinner's life. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Man can't do good works until he comes to Jesus. He can't do good work until Jesus comes and changes him. Which God before ordained that we should walk in them. He didn't save us just to keep us out of hell. He saved us to serve him. He shed his blood for his church. And brother, he's to be served in his New Testament church. Amen. Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You can't give him glory anywhere else. You can't serve him acceptably anywhere else except in and through a New Testament church. Now that's narrow-minded. That's dogmatic. But God makes it clear, Ephesians 4th chapter, there's one. One. And Jesus said in John, he said, I am the way. Didn't say he was a way. I am the truth. He didn't say he was a truth. I am the life. There's only one truth. There's only one true way. And there's only one eternal life. And the source of it is God. Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Who are we to refuse to do that? Who's man that God would even be mindful of him? Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Who's God? Jesus is. He's God the Son. He's one of the three persons of the Godhead who are all the same except in person. Acts 17, verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God commands all men everywhere to repent. He will not accept man short of repentance. Repentance is absolutely essential and necessary. And a sinner's need to come and reason together with God. You don't need to come and reason together with man. You don't need to come and reason together with the preacher. You don't need to come and reason together with the church. You need to come and reason together with God. And when you get things right with God, then you can think about the church. Until you get things right with God, you're not going to be able to serve the Lord acceptably. You're not going to be able to give him honor and glory. Because until you get right with God, you're not going to be a member of the church. You can have your name on a roll, but you're not a member. When you truly get it right. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. The Spirit of God's convict your heart. You need to be willing to yield to that convicting and drawing of the Holy Spirit and let him have his will and his way in your life. Come, acknowledging that you're a sinner. Come, putting your faith and trust in Jesus, knowing that he has the power to change your eternal destiny. He has the power to relieve you of that burden of sin that every lost sinner carries around with him. That peace that passes understanding that he gives in salvation and that burden of sin are the two things that are most prominent for me when I got saved. When I got saved, that burden left, and brother, a peace that passes understanding come into my heart and my life. I needed not to worry anymore. It didn't matter what happened. And it still doesn't, as long as Jesus is first and foremost. Let's stand. Invitation is open. Whatever the need is, come to Jesus. If you're here, you're saved, a member of this church even. You don't have the fullness of the joy of your salvation. Come to Jesus. He's the only one that can restore it. What should we sing, brother?